98.5 Sunshine FM. Paul Potts first sang opera in 1999 in a karaoke competition dressed as Luciano Pavarotti. In the following years, he dabbled in amateur opera, but it was June 2007 when his audition for Britain's Got Talent was broadcast that he first began his truly extraordinary journey towards winning the first season of the competition and becoming known around the world as the mobile phone salesman with the incredible voice. The last 2 years have been an epic journey of incredible hard work and dedication. His debut album, One Chance, which sold over 3.5 million albums, rocketed to the number one spot in 13 countries, including the UK, Canada, Australia, Hong Kong and Mexico, and stormed to the top 10 in a further 8. In the UK, his album outsold the entire top 10 collectively in its first week. Paul's latest album, Passion, has just been released, and he joins me on the line now. Welcome to 98.5 Sunshine FM.
Thanks very much, Rodney.
Millions of people from around the world have watched that initial audition. What was going through your mind as you stood in front of the judges for the very first time?
Well, just before I'd entered the stage, I remember seeing a couple on stage. There was a man making bird sound by whistling, and his wife was dancing with a pink pashmina. And I couldn't... You know, I could hear them being booed very, very loudly, and heckled, and I have to admit that I felt a bit like Daniel in front of the lions, and in the Colosseum, and just waiting for trying to dodge the unfed lions, and I don't know what it was in the end that made me walk out there. It didn't feel like it was my own free will.
I believe you weren't sure as to whether you should audition in the first place anyway, and it came down to the toss of a coin.
It did, yeah. You know, I didn't know whether I was good enough. I didn't know if I was too old, or whether I was what they were looking for. And I knew that I wasn't exactly, and still not exactly Brad Pitt or anything like that. But singing is something that I always had a passion for. And I'd given up on it completely because of illness and injury, and it was something I never thought I'd be able to do again.
But when you walked out there, you would have seen the judges, and they would have looked at you as if to say, come on, are you serious? And the audience there that you'd just heard booing the last act, it must have been fairly frightening for you.
It was. The last thing I was expecting was to get anything good happen at the result of that at that time. And at the time, it felt like it was a dead end, and I saw it as my last ever performance. And possibly one of the things that made me walk out there was the fact that if I didn't do it then, I was never going to do it. And I look back on that, I look back on the day with great fondness, and I now know that what looked like a no-through road was actually in the end a crossroads, a turn that I just couldn't see yet.
And of course you went on, as I say, you won that competition. That must have given you enormous confidence in this ability that was always there but somewhat lay dormant.
My confidence has grown since then. I'm still at heart a little insecure, but I think that's important because I think that if you're too secure, then I think that it can lead you to take things for granted. And I think you always need to challenge yourself and have some reason to challenge yourself. And I always challenge myself to continue to try and improve. And I'm very happy with the album that I've just made, and it's just been released here. And I hope that people enjoy it as much as I've enjoyed making it.
That must be a difficult thing once you've made an album and put it out there, because there's obviously a part of you that is in that album, and you're sort of putting yourself out there again and again. And even though you've got that great respect last time, I guess you're still wondering whether it's going to happen for you again.
Yeah, the second album is always, an added challenge. If you've had a bit of success with the first one, it's an added challenge. So, you then get that level of expectation. I mean, the first time round, there was little expectation of what I'd achieve, and this time the expectation's higher, and so you've got to move the bar up. I'm very pleased that I had more time to work on the album. I'm very pleased that I had much more time to work on the material and get it ready to record, because you know, the difference between a live performance, and I did over 100 of those last year, the difference between a live performance and a recording is that a recording is a performance that is always there. So, you know, once it's cut, there's, you know, there's nothing you can do. It's out there, and, you know, I'm very conscious of the fact that, you know, it's a record of where I was at that time. So I'm glad I had more time to work on it this time.
Well, you're saying that you performed over 100 times last year. Does it still give you a thrill to walk out in front of an audience and to be able to entertain them?
Absolutely. I love being able to perform in front of a live audience. It's one of the things that drove me to do it in the first place. It's the reason why I applied for Britain's Got Talent and not other shows, was because, you know, when you're just auditioning in front of a panel, you've got nobody behind them. You're being examined quite closely by the panel, and you've got nobody else to feed off. So performing for an audience is nerve-wracking, but it's something that you feel like there are people willing you to perform well. So it just gives you that extra bit of atmosphere.
And I believe you weren't really all that sure of your own talent once you even won Britain's Got Talent, because you didn't resign from your career as a mobile phone salesman. You just took 6 months off initially.
Yeah, I was never sure what it would last. You know, it was mind-boggling for me to actually go to many wonderful places. And, you know, it felt a bit like a dream, so I wasn't sure whether to believe it was true. You know, because, you know, I was out in America when I eventually did resign by email, because, you know, it was a bit impractical to try and hand deliver a letter or anything. So in the end, I did it by email. I resigned by email, and I'm still in touch with the people that I used to work with. I stay in touch with them as much as I can, usually by text message. And you know, it can be a bit confusing being in different time zones. You know, when I'm here in Australia, you know, I have been known to send the odd text at midday, getting my time zones mixed up. And of course, it's 3 in the morning at home, so occasionally I get the odd message and, oh, you just woke me up, mate.
How does it feel to have attracted so much fame and so much notoriety? Because I imagine you still feel that you're essentially the same guy that you were before June 2007, and yet suddenly everyone wants to know you, everyone wants to talk to you. It must be a bit of a head spin.
It is, and it's very difficult to get used to. It's, there are still days where my wife and I kind of look at each other and just sort of say out loud to each other that this is just crazy. But my wife's a great source of support, but also a very good influence, and we actually see more of each other now than we did before, because we're often together when we're out and about. We're often actually together. She gets and deserves a break from me from time to time. But you know, it's great to have somebody like Juice by my side.
When you were a child, I believe you had a very different career in mind.
And I remember watching the vicar in church sing every Sunday, and I thought, well, I could do that. He gets a free house. He gets to sing every Sunday. You know, I didn't know then, but there's obviously far more to it than that. And but at the time, it seemed quite a cushy job. You know, you got a free house, and you got to sing every Sunday. You know, to me, that was great.
Sounds like a good career. Now, I believe also that you suffered at the hands of bullies in your younger years. Do you sometimes wonder what those that bullied you all those years ago might be thinking of your current success?
Well, I've had one or two messages from people that did bully me, and one of them in particular asked me to forgive them for what they'd done, and I just sent a message back saying that, well, there was nothing to forgive, because whatever happens in the past should remain there. You know, if you allow things that happened to you in the past to influence you in a negative way, then you're actually allowing that negative side to win, and people that abuse you in one shape or form, you know, if you allow that negative side to win, then you're allowing it to continue, and you're allowing it to destroy part of who you are and part of your life. So there's no point wasting time and energy on negativity.
Many people have been comparing you to Susan Boyle, the unlikely star of this year's season of Britain's Got Talent. Do you see any similarities in your stories?
Well, we were both unexpected, I think. We both, you know, sang, and we were both, I think, not what people were expecting to hear after what they saw actually walk on stage. I know I didn't look exactly the picture of pop stardom at the time, and I had a very cheap suit on. It was, I was looking fairly dishevelled because I've got very short arms and very short legs, so the suit didn't actually fit me very well, even though I bought it especially for the audition. I think that, in all honesty, I think that Susan's handling what she's going through at the moment incredibly well. It can take you by surprise, and you either sink or swim when something like this happens very suddenly. And I think she's swimming quite nicely, and I think she has every chance. I don't know, I hope she gets to enjoy as much of the process and of the next stages as she can.
Do you think that both in Susan's case and in your case that it sends us a message that we shouldn't be so quick to judge by appearances?
I think so. I think it also says that people can surprise you, not just on TV, but people around you that you might think you know. People around you can surprise you. You know, you should be prepared to be surprised by anyone. That people, everybody, I think, has a hidden talent. It's just they need to find it and need to find their way of demonstrating that talent. And, that can happen anywhere.
We've touched on the fact that you've just released the brand new album, just come out here in Australia. I imagine that with Mother's Day coming up here in Australia, there's going to be a lot of mums that are going to have a big smile on their face on that Sunday morning when they find that they've got a copy of that CD to listen to.
I hope that people enjoy listening to it and get as much joy out of listening to it as I did making it, because it was a joy to make. I loved making every single track on the album. It was a bit of a labour of love. I spent a lot of time planning it and working together with the record company to try and get the best record we could.
So far, you've just been surprised, I guess, that this has continued on and you've been enjoying this newfound career. Where do you think it's going to go from here?
I don't know. I'm going to be starting touring again this year, and I'll return to Australia next February, right the way across Australia, like I did last time. I performed in Perth last time. I'm sure that I'll end up in Western Australia in some shape or form and sometime around February.
Well, we certainly look forward to you coming back to Perth, and hopefully you can drop in here and say hi in the studios. But Paul, it's been a delight to speak to you. We wish you all the best with the future and with this brand new album. It's wonderful to listen to. I've listened through a number of the tracks and I'm sure that people are going to enjoy it. And thanks for giving us such a wonderful gift as your music.
Thanks very much.